Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine being Abraham? Can you imagine doing what God here commanded him to do in our Old Testament reading? To really go and sacrifice his son? And just to underscore the difficulty of Abraham's situation, consider that he had to wait a long time before he had this son with his wife Sarah. He had waited many, many years and was 100 before he finally had this son with Sarah, who was 90. And then God had made all of these promises about this son that was going to be born to himself and Sarah. He tells them that he's going to have all of these descendants. He told him, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He had also promised Abraham that nations and kings would come from his descendants. He promised Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. This was the promise of the Christ, the Messiah of Jesus. And it was through Isaac that these promises were going to come true. But here now God is telling him to take that son of the promise and kill him. To offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain. Even after he had waited all of these years, 25 years after God first made his promises to Abraham, God finally had given him this son, and now, after having this son, he's supposed to kill him. God told him, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Your son, your only son, the only one he had with Sarah, whom he loves, God highlights all of those things, and sacrifice him. And the amazing thing is that Abraham did it. That Abraham took his son. Later on in Scripture in the New Testament, we hear in the book of Hebrews that Abraham considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham trusted that God could raise his son from the dead, that God was still going to be faithful to his promises, and he listens and he obeys God even though he cannot see right now how that promise is going to be fulfilled. But he believes and trusts that God could raise him from the dead. Abraham knew that he was able to raise Isaac from the dead. He exhibits great faith in the promises of God, even as he goes to the place of sacrifice. First, he tells the young men who are accompanying him to stay at a particular place, and then says that he and the boy will go worship and come again to them. It seems that he implies that not just he, Abraham, is going to come back to them, but he and Isaac. Even there, he seems to exhibit faith that God could raise Isaac from the dead here after he dies. And then Abraham also displays great faith in his response to Isaac's question. After he laid the wood of the burnt offering on Isaac and took the fire and the knife, Isaac asks him, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And in response to that innocent but very observant question, Abraham responds, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." Abraham believes and trusts that God can provide, even though he has not been given the promise that God will raise Isaac from the dead. What he has been told is he's supposed to take this son and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Abraham knew that God would in some way provide the sacrifice, but the only lamb that Abraham could see was the one in front of him, was his own son, whom he loves, Isaac. The firstborn son whom he and his wife had watched over with all the attention that a firstborn son gets, perhaps saw him crawl and walk and waited for his first words. This one is being led like a lamb to the slaughter. But in spite of all of that, Abraham still obeys God's command. He still does what God tells him to do. And what's more, Isaac also displays great faith. Isaac trusts his father and trusts God, his heavenly father, believing that God would indeed provide the sacrifice. And Abraham takes his son to the place chosen by God, binds him, and lays him on the wood. Now here too, Isaac displays great faith, because Abraham is over 100 years old. Isaac is young. Isaac could probably run away. He could probably get away from his father, but he doesn't. He allows himself to be bound and laid on the wood, and for his father to lift the knife to slaughter his son. We hear of no struggle from Isaac, no fight, no resistance. We simply hear that Abraham binds him and lays him there. So there they are. Isaac is bound on the wood, and Isaac, his father, has the knife ready to slay his son, his only son whom he loves. And then an angel of the Lord calls out to Abraham, "Abraham, Abraham." And I'm sure Abraham was glad to stop, to have any excuse to stop at that point. And he answers, "Here am I." And God says to him, the Lord through the angel at least, says, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham feared God. He feared God more than he feared losing his son. He loved God more even than he loved his son. He trusted God more even than he trusted his son. He feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, and he was willing to give up his son at the Lord's command. He fears God's wrath and his punishment. He fears being separated from God more than he fears losing anything else on this earth. Would we do the same? Would we have the same faith that Abraham has? Do we love God more than we love our family members? Do we desire to do his will, to follow what he says regardless of what family members may say or think? Do we fear, love, and trust in God more than our own family members? Do we want the love of God more than we want the love of our children, or of our parents, or of anyone else in our family, or outside of our family? Or is there anything that we would hold back from God if he asked for it, if he asked us to give it up? Would we want to hold back from him our homes, our cars, our money, our activities at school or home, our jobs, our careers, our pleasures, our very lives, or the lives of our loved ones? Abraham was willing to give up his only son, whom God had given him. He was willing to offer him back to God at God's command. He loved, feared, and trusted God more than he loved, feared, or trusted even his son. But God is teaching us something far greater than simply holding up Abraham as a great example of faith. Abraham certainly is that. An example of firm faith and trust in God. But there is something more at work here. God is giving a preview of what he is going to do in Jesus. What he would do when he took his very own son and sent him to this earth to die on the altar of the cross. Jesus bore the wood of the sacrifice on himself too. He bore the wood of the cross, at least some of the way, toward another mountain, to Mount Calvary, just as Isaac bore the wood of the sacrifice. And then Jesus was bound to that wood, to the altar of the cross. But when the knife of God's wrath came to slay Jesus, there was no stopping it. Jesus didn't get to be taken off of the cross. He didn't get to have a ram come in his place. Because here Isaac was not sacrificed at the end. And instead a ram was sacrificed in his place. But there was no one else there, no other ram or lamb to be sacrificed in place of the Son of God, the only begotten, beloved Son of God, whom God the Father loved. But rather the wrath of God the Father came down on him, and we, like Isaac, get to step aside and watch someone else sacrificed in our place. So in some ways, we are like Isaac. We get a preview of the fact that though we should have died, though it looks like we deserve to suffer the wrath of God, and we do, for all of our sins, Jesus comes and sacrifices himself on the altar of the cross for us, to die in our place, and to suffer more than just a physical death, but to actually suffer hell on the cross. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is suffering separation from the Father. He is suffering the wrath of God on the cross for us in our place. And we get to stand and watch as someone else is sacrificed in our place, so that we might go free like Isaac, so that we might live, and that we might not just have life on this earth, but that we might have life forever with God in heaven, so that we might have God the Father as our heavenly Father, that he might be our Father and we might be his children, so that we might be cared for by him forever. And Jesus didn't deserve this. He had done no wrong. As we hear in our gospel reading, he is the beloved Son of the Father. As we hear in the Gospels, he is the beloved Son of the Father. With Jesus, God is well pleased. Jesus met the temptations of Satan. He did not give in to temptation. He perfectly lived the life we should have lived in order that he could go to the cross and die in our place. Can you imagine the relief that Isaac felt? The relief that Abraham felt when the angel of the Lord called out and stopped Abraham with his knife in his hand, and he could lower that knife not on his son, but lower it upon a ram, on something else. That Isaac could get off of that wood. His ropes could be cut, and the ram could be laid there in Isaac's place. And it should be a relief to us as we come here to Holy Week, to the most important week of human history. And we get to celebrate it year after year after year. And again, here described, Jesus, our Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, laid upon the altar of the cross and sacrificed for us in our place. We should rejoice at this every Good Friday, that we come to God's house to hear this, to reflect on it, to meditate upon it, and to rejoice that there Jesus is laid upon the cross in our place, that he is our ram, our substitute, all because of our sins. And it's on Good Friday that we'll take this veil off of the cross. We put it on today. It's a tradition in the church to do this when we see that Jesus hid himself. And we remember that because of our sins, we do not deserve Christ's sacrifice. We do not deserve what he has done for us. But Christ has gone to the cross for us in our place. And on Good Friday, then we will remove it. And remember that our Lord has died for us, that he is our ram, and we get to go free and to have our Lord's forgiveness. And so our Lord calls us to believe and trust in this substitute. In our gospel reading, we have those who do not believe in Jesus, who do not have the faith of Abraham. They instead look at Jesus and cannot understand that he is the Son of God, come to save them, but instead reject him and want to stone him to death, to kill him. Our Lord calls us to see him as the one who died for us, as our ram, our substitute, who pays for our sins, so that we might go free like Isaac. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.